following podcast may contain spoilers, profanity, and views or opinions that may not be representative of the author's intent of the articles discussed. We don't always take ourselves or the subject matter seriously either. Listener discretion is advised.
The following is a Galactic Network podcast.
Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 231, recorded on Thursday, November 16th, 2017. I'm Dave Nelson, along with Brad Ludwig. Hello, Brad.
Hello.
Coming up on this episode, a home in Arizona is up for sale. We'll tell you why. Plus, a sighting, along with our picks and warnings. Before all that, though, our question.
Dave?
Huh? Dave?
Huh?
Hey, Dave, what's the question?
If you could be an eyewitness to any of the famous UFO incidents or sightings, which one would it be and why, Brad?
I'm going to say the Phoenix Lights.
Oh, good choice.
Yep. That was the mass UFO sighting in, what, 97? And, a lot of people witnessed that. And it would be cool to have been to have been there. And maybe, well, 97, we really didn't have decent cell phones that took pictures at the time. it would have been cool to actually be there and see that.
We had some pretty decent camcorders at that time. So you could get something on video. Wouldn't be high def. That's for sure.
Nope. But, you know, if you could get a tripod to, you know, kind of help steady things instead of the, you know, shaky cam.
Yep.
Yeah.
Some video is not that old, but because it was shot pre-HD, it looks super old. Like, you watch TV broadcasts from, like, the mid-2000s, and some of them look like they're from the 1970s.
Yeah, they
it's
do.
So weird.
It is.
Okay,
my Anessa and I just got an LED 4K TV.
Ooh.
We got a great deal on it. Anyways, enough for deal talk. But yeah, you watch older stuff or low resolution YouTube videos or stuff like that, and you either see a lot of the flaws or it just looks really, really obviously bad. But you know, what are you gonna do?
Exactly. Okay, so back to the question. My answer is going to be probably the most famous UFO incident in the history of all UFO incidents. And it is 1947, Roswell, New Mexico.
Roswell.
So I can actually prove that it happened.
Boom.
So I'm going back in time. I'm going to Roswell, 1947, and I'm going to be there when it goes down. And then I'm going to go back to our time and say, hey, it happened. Or
here's some pictures.
Yeah, or it was just a weather balloon. And it's a hoax. Fake news.
Fake. Oh, please, no.
In the news...
You may want to get used to the name Ross-128b. It's the newly discovered exoplanet, and it is the second closest found to our solar system, only 11 light years away, and it could support life. Now, the planet is about the same size as Earth, and it may have a similar surface temperature, making it a temperate world that could support life. Every 9.9 days, it completes an orbit around its host star, Ross-128. So I'm going to assume if it's Ross-128b, it is the second planet away from the star in that solar system. Carrying on, which is what's known as a red dwarf star. They're the coolest, faintest, and most common stars found in the universe. because of their plentiful nature and the fact that other exoplanets have been found around these types of stars, red dwarfs are being studied and observed with increasing frequency in the hopes of finding new exoplanets. Astronomers found Ross 28 and its planet using the European Southern Observatory's planet hunting instrument called HARPS, the High Accuracy Radio Velocity Planet Searcher. And it's based in La Silla Observatory in Chile. The astronomers detail their discovery in a new study, which was published just Wednesday, which would have been,
Wednesday was the 14th. No, the 15th.
Oh, yeah, yesterday.
Yep.
Just checking to make sure that I've got my dates right on this. Curses, they don't have a date on the original article. No! Okay, we're going to make an assumption here that it was November 15th. Oh, here it is, one day ago, yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was because I remember seeing it come up in my newsfeed yesterday.
Yeah, in the Journal of Astronomy and Astrophysics. To be involved in such a discovery is very rewarding, and it helps us to realize that there's so much effort, that so much effort is worth it. Nicola, oh boy.
You can do it, Brad. I have faith in you.
Nicola Astiodio de Fru?
Wow.
Somebody's going to, if Jaime is listening, please correct me if you've got a beat on how that should be pronounced. I would greatly appreciate it. One of the study's co-authors at the University of Geneva's observatory wrote in an email, "The special properties of this system means that we are contributing our bit on the search for an Earth 2.0. The astronomers don't yet know whether Ross 128b is in the habitable zone of the star, but it's likely, given what they understand about red dwarfs and the planets that orbit them." Now, Ross 128b is 20 times closer to its star than the Earth is to its sun, but because the star is small, dim, and cool, is it where dunce cap? I'm just kidding. the planet would still be at a potentially comfortable temperature. The nature of the star is also why the planet is subjected to only 1.38 times the radiation that Earth receives from the sun, even though the planet and star are closer together. The astronomers believe that Ross 128b is a good candidate for further study when the European Southern Observatory's extremely large... Good Lord. There's really no, a fancy name. They take the first initials of that.
European Southern Observatory's Extremely Large Telescope. I believe it's ELT. I've seen it as ELT.
Okay. Otherwise, it's like...
Isilet.
Isilet. Can begin searching the atmospheres of exoplanets for biomarkers in 2025. So we have a little ways to go for that type of information. But, the other interesting thing about this is Proxima B, which is the other exoplanet that's closer to us, while it's only 4.2 light years away, Ross 128b and its planet, that solar system, is actually moving towards us.
It's moving?
Yes.
How could that be?
Well, we're all technically moving through the universe.
That's true.
But the astronomers say, like, in 79,000 years, Ross 28b will actually be a very close neighbor to us, and it will be closer than Proxima b.
Circle that date on your calendar.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess we're traveling at along the same pace and trajectory that Proxima B will be relatively, it'll still be within that 4.2 light year distance range, but Ross 28B is on a trajectory that pushes it closer to us. So given time, it'll be just a quick jaunt to get over there.
All we have to do now is solve faster than light travel.
Oh, we've got a lot of things to fix before we can do that.
One thing at a time, Brad.
One thing at a time.
If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Or call our voicemail number. Area code 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Follow this Galactic Network podcast on Twitter, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Find us by searching for Galactic Network on all the major social networks or click on the icons at gncast.com.
I have one juicy story, Brad. Are you ready?
Hit me.
This is awesome. John Edmonds, owner of the Stardust Ranch in Rainbow Valley, Arizona, which is worth $5 million, is fed up with... I'm going to let you fill in the blank. What do you think it is? He's fed up with...
aliens trying to make calls from his home phone.
No.
Okay.
It's the desert. Could be wild animals, right? Maybe all the dust flying around.
Could be.
But it's not.
It's not. What's happening?
Mr. Edmonds is fed up with encounters with extraterrestrials and is now being forced to sell.
Okay.
He's sick of E.T. coming down and bothering him. That's why he's putting the ranch on the market. He, along with his wife Joyce, say they've been harassed by aliens and have been forced to kill 19 of them with a samurai sword since they moved in 1995.
Damn, they got a serious problem.
It's funny enough that they're being harassed by extraterrestrials. But it gets funnier when you add in the samurai sword.
That would not be my first weapon of choice to deal with an alien invasion, no.
Maybe they have some kind of, like, dampening field that causes, like, weapons, like projectile weapons, not to work.
Well, I'm just wondering what they have going on by their house that they would be stopping by all the time.
Yeah, there's got to be a reason why.
There's got to be a resource or something that's attracting them.
Okay, let's read on. Let's read on here.
Okay.
Not only have the pair been visited by aliens, but they also claim to have been abducted on several occasions.
Okay.
Another reason to be upset.
Well, yeah, a little bit.
Mr. Edmonds also posted a photo to his Facebook page of a scar on his leg, which was the outcome of a fight with the supposed aliens. All right, here's the listing for the property. It reads, the current owners purchased the property 20 years ago to run a horse rescue. Over the years, they've experienced a series of strange events that continue to this day. Listing agent Kimberly Garrow admitted that it might take a little creativity to sell the property. She said, there are thousands of people, both nationally and internationally, who follow the owner online and have strong beliefs about aliens and the paranormal. Reaching these people online to generate a buzz about the property has been my number one marketing strategy. Mr. Edmonds added that the property could unlock the secrets of the universe. So I think he knows that there's a reason why aliens are coming to that spot.
Yeah, you'd think that he would mention what it is so it would be a bigger selling point for the property.
Yeah, but maybe the curiosity will be enough to get big money for his property. He's got people curious.
Well, yeah. I guess that kind of calls into question, is this a scam on his part to get more people to just come to the property, or if this is a, you know, a legitimate thing?
Yep, that could be too.
I've got a lot of questions on this.
All right. Finally, he said, it's a mixed bag. It's not something for a traditional family, but it holds a lot of secrets, and what I believe are future opportunities to understand forces that are in the universe. So I think, this is my theory, I think there's some kind of portal or wormhole that the opening is near his ranch.
I could see that, sure.
So the aliens are coming from wherever, space, time, dimensions, through the wormhole or portal to his property and doing the thing that they do. So if you had the money and you were in the market for a ranch in Arizona, would you be curious to at least look at this place?
Yes, absolutely, I would.
Okay. Do you think you would need...
Not going to lie.
Do you think you would need to sleep in it, like test it out before you put your money down?
Well, it's Arizona. I would not want to sleep outside for fear of scorpions.
Or coyotes.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. So... You know, I'd want to have a I would want to have like a week to be able to be there and check it out.
So your stipulations is you need a week to test it out before you're going to put your hard-earned money down on this place.
Well, you know, I would like to know, you know, he's had to defend the area with the samurai sword. I would want to be able to try to map out, you know, what are there more efficient defenses that could be put up?
Yeah.
You know, could we be, you know, should I be putting cameras out? Should I, you know, I have a lot of questions.
Now, he uses a samurai sword. What kind of sword would you use?
I'm not sure I would use a sword. Honestly,
if it has to be something that's not a projectile weapon, what would it be?
You know, a spiked bat, quite honestly.
Oh, yeah. Negan on his ass. Yes.
It's just it's easy enough to manufacture. And yeah, that's where I would have to go.
We got this figured out.
I don't know about that, but I think that would be where I would start. At least.
All right. Let's call him up. Set up that appointment. If you enjoy the Alien Invasion and would like to do more than just subscribe or listen or follow us on social media, please consider becoming a partner with us. Go to gncasts.com/support. That's gncasts.com/support. And click on the Patreon link. That's Patreon. We have different levels of partners, all with rewards, like the $1 level, a dollar a month. Anybody can afford a dollar a month. That's all we ask, a dollar a month, and you can become a partner with us. Or if you want to just pony up a little bit more, $3 a month or $5 a month. You can get your name mentioned on our show, receive a bonus podcast, or even have a whole message read by one of us. And when we say all of our podcasts, we mean every single one. You get your name mentioned, or you get your message read, or you get that extra podcast. We'd like to thank Brian Jensen for recently becoming a partner with us. You can be just like Brian by going to gncasts.com/support. And we thank you for becoming a partner with the Galactic Network and Alien Invasion Podcast.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape. Huge. Just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
We had a dome. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was on circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
The sighting this week is something that occurred actually beginning of October of this year, October 4th. And this happened in Casper, Wyoming. Now, the person that saw this reported a 7-foot-tall gray that actually did not notice the person who witnessed this.
Whoa. So wow.
They were like ninjas, and they witnessed this gray alien that's 7 feet tall.
So, you know what? Hang on. Grays aren't usually that tall.
Yeah, that was my first... I saw a 7 foot gray. I'm like, well, maybe a Nordic, but a gray? Okay. Maybe it was a Nordic wearing a gray, like, mask.
That could be. Or there were some tall grays on E.T., the extraterrestrial, the movie.
No, you're right there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Anyways.
Okay. As the witness was heading east along I-25 at approximately 2:30 in the morning, in the middle of nowhere, about 15 minutes east of Casper, Wyoming, they were in the slow lane. Now, there was a truck approaching the individual to the rear, and the truck was moving faster than he was. As his vehicle can only run 67 miles per hour in an 80 mile per hour zone. Okay. I was on the phone with my coworker. That's kind of dangerous. Hopefully it was hands-free in South Dakota. I was talking through my stereo. Okay. And just took a sip of my Pepsi. And as I was looking up from setting it into their cup holder, they saw what looked like or something that resembled a human standing either on the road in between the yellow line and the edge of the pavement. Just standing off of it by the snow reflectors. So either it was in the middle of the lane or just to the side of the lane. It was all the way to the left of the left lane traveling eastbound. I have a lot of questions here. As the witness looked up from their cup holder, looked and saw it standing straight up from bending at the waist and was facing at a 45 degree angle to me. It was looking southeast. I saw the back and then the right side as I passed. When it was almost straight up, its left arm shot up, stayed up a lot quicker than it stood up.
It sounds like a rap song.
A little bit. I think Mom's Spaghetti was involved in here. It could have been some vomit. It was not phased that I sped by like deer or antelope are. It just was kind of looking somewhere, doing something. It was all gray, flat, medium, dull gray. So it didn't have a gloss or a shine to it. I thought about people on stilts or possibly something from Halloween. They didn't see the hands too much, but the fist or whatever that shot into the sky looked big and clumpy. What the witness described to their coworker on the phone as was a really tall Statue of Liberty. Well, there you go. There's a good visual. They saw the left hand arm, and it looked like it was holding something, but clumpy and blurry from my speed. I got the worst hair-raising chills ever, I don't doubt it, in my life. They were pulsing and in waves with every hair on my body standing up for about 10 minutes. That's just not me.
He's very descriptive.
I'm not sure what this is going. I pray for zombies, but this scared the crap out of me. Okay, maybe they said I prayed for zombies.
Or he's a lover of zombies. Like he's the kind of person
Well, he mentions that it's gray and kind of lumpy. That might have been his or her first thought. Mm-hmm. Is holy crap, that's a zombie. Given that you're going by something that fast, you would be flipping through so many things to try to, pair it up to something to figure out what the heck it was. As they were approaching the first turnaround, this person told their coworker, "I was going to take it." Okay. The coworker talked him out of it and passed the next two turnarounds. The truck that was fast approaching me from the rear over the next hill, they saw that he was about 3 to 4 miles behind me instead of one. He must have slowed down. These trucks take forever to stop. When the witness got back to my...
This is written really poorly.
Oh, to my backer dock. It must be like the dock that he backs his semi into to unload.
Isn't that Baker
Maybe
dock?
That's, it looks like it's Baker, but I think they might. I don't know. I don't know trucking lingo, unfortunately. Hey, if you're a trucker and you know the lingo, contact us, aliens.
We've got to have some truckers that listen.
Absolutely.
Got to. Yeah.
Aliens@gncasts.com. Set us straight. The witness stood next to their driver's door. Now, this person is 5'10", and the bottom of their semi's window is over 6 feet. So from the ground, it is 6 feet up to the base of the semi window.
Got it.
The gray that they saw, and to have seen the shoulders and head as he passed by, taken in for, you know, taking into account the height and distance, 10 feet to the left of my truck, it had to be about 7 feet tall or more. And it looked like the Liberty Tax people that stand outside the shop on tax season. You've probably seen them. They're dressed like the Statue of Liberty, the grayish, greenish outfit that they wear, with the foam hat and waving their sign. Again, this all happened in a matter of seconds. It got talked out of turning around, as per company, we are only allowed to carry knives. Okay. So the only thing he could have defended himself with was a knife. Okay. But if it was a split second sooner, I could have stuffed my brakes and recorded the previous 11 seconds to the following 11 seconds and had it recorded. Okay. I did not see any overturned cars in the median or off to any side that night or the following nights, as this is my current nightly route. There's quite a few more dead animals than normal within maybe 2 miles both ways on the eastbound lanes than normal, but it is high tins season.
This was written very poorly and very, well, like, sporadic in the way it was written.
Well, recalling something that, you know, if your hair stood on end for 10 minutes, I would think thinking back to this might shake you up a little bit. And you really, you send out this report, you fill out an online thing, you shoot it out, you really don't get a second chance to edit.
And it is a very recent event, too. It took place October 4th. Reported on October 7th.
Yeah.
Huh. It's a 3-day difference. So he might have still been like a little freaked out. And maybe he wrote it down right away too.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. That, and he might have had an opportunity to talk with the coworker that he was, you know, on the phone with at the time that he witnessed that. Anyways, this is from newfork.org. That's the National UFO Reporting Center.
Oh, it's not from MUFON?
It is not from MUFON. I decided to try a different place for this particular sighting.
All right. It was interesting because I think this is the first sighting that we've had with just a specific alien, not an alien craft.
Correct.
Yeah.
The vast majority, if memory serves, are all craft.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why this one really kind of popped out to me. Not so much just that it was very recent. That definitely popped it up higher on my priority list. But it was an actual alien sighting and not just a craft. So yeah.
Throwback to creature feature.
Yeah, pretty much.
All you old timers, you know what I'm talking about, right? And then it was Craft Corner. And then, then it turned into sightings.
Boom. We've evolved.
Yes. All right. Thanks, Brad.
Hello, I'm Gregor Sprague, and this is the Elts Nerds. Now, what are the Elts Nerds? Well, it's myself and Corey Scott, along with our producers, Beatmaster and Evan Rockde, as we talk about everything that is on our nerdy little heart, whether it be comic books, movies, TV shows, video games, cell phones, the moments that we're walking down the street and a person says hi. It doesn't matter. We talk about everything, and you can find it at ElsNerds.com.
Let's do our picks and warnings, shall we?
Watching, reading, playing, listening,
making...
We're going to talk about some things that we watched, that have to do with aliens, some form or another. And what I watched was a documentary show called Top 10 Secrets and Mysteries. Ooh. And it's neat because the show is literally a top 10 list. So there's a narrator, and they're like, at number 10, blah, 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 blah. At number 9, so and so and so and. So this was the top 10 extraterrestrial things. I don't remember the exact title. Hang on. There's the link right here. I'm going to click on it. It takes me to Netflix, which is where I watched it. And the episode is called Extraterrestrial. Extraterrestrial. And you'll find this on Netflix, hopefully. Mine was Netflix Canada. Yours could be different. Who knows? Anyways. So it was the top 10, like, extraterrestrial sightings or something to do with extraterrestrials. Like, they ran down Area 51, ancient texts, Roswell, all the major UFO incidents, they kind of ranked them 10 to 1. And it was neat. I'd like to watch more of the episodes. And bonus for having a British narrator. In fact, I think probably it is from UK TV. And I'd love to get some feedback from our listeners in the UK. If this sounds familiar to them, this may be a British show. So it's Top 10 Secrets and Mysteries. And the reason why this is so short, it's because I watched this 4 weeks ago, and I don't remember exactly all the top 10. So I'm just going to leave it at that. I very much enjoyed it. Of all the flying saucer, alien, extraterrestrial documentary shows on Netflix, this was pretty darn good. I enjoyed it immensely, and I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5 flying saucers. So that's my short pick this week.
Well, it's a respectable pick.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I was looking at that, and I decided not to watch it and do something else and
really?
do the pick that I have.
Oh, wow. Okay. So we almost had the same pick. You know, we never consult each other.
And no, we don't.
It's pretty, we get pretty lucky that we don't duplicate our picks.
Yeah. I was flipping through Netflix this past week, and I'm like, oh, that's new. I hadn't seen it before come up on my recommendations list. So yeah, almost bit on that one.
So your pick this week is an episode of a show that I watch, but I'm not caught up. So, but it's okay. You can spoil it if you want. It's still because the show is entertaining, even though you might know the outcome of an episode.
Okay. It's DC's Legends of Tomorrow. Now, you know, CW and their superhero shows, we've mentioned before, and if you've listened to us before, you know how much of a comic book nerd I am. So this is definitely a show that's on my watch list. Now, for those of you who have not watched DC Legends of Tomorrow, it is a collection of heroes, obviously from the DC universe. Some of them are from different time periods that have kind of banded together, and they travel through time and try to fix basically their anomalies, things that have gone wrong in the timeline, unfortunately, that they've inadvertently caused.
They're fixing their own mistakes.
Yeah, they are fixing their own mistakes. And this is really interesting because for the first time, we get a chance to look in on a very young Ray Palmer. Now, Ray Palmer is the Atom, and he is a physicist and a very very smart individual who has multiple PhDs. And we actually appear in 1988, and this involves young Ray Palmer.
Oh, I think I have seen this episode. Okay.
And this particular episode is called Phone Home. It happens in the 80s. So as you can guess, it's kind of a love letter to E.T. And there is a very specific scene that is a very huge callback to the E.T. movie. If there was any doubt that this was a love letter to E.T., all doubts would be cast aside for this one particular scene. Ray Palmer actually disappears. Whatever happened, something happens, and it tampers with Ray Palmer. So the team has to go back to 1988, figure out what happens, and save Ray Palmer and fix the situation. It's a very, very fun episode. This season has been very interesting, and they seem to be moving a little bit into, I want to say, the supernatural to a certain degree.
Well, there might be a reason for that.
Yeah, there is. And they are kind of giving you little hints as to who the big bad is going to be this particular season. And it's a really fun episode. If you do not watch Legends of Tomorrow, DC's Legends of Tomorrow, you might want to give it a shot. Check it out. And I think that you might enjoy it.
They have a guest star coming on that I know that you love. Do you know about this? You have to know about this.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, my head right now is on the big crossover, okay. So.
That's coming up in December sometime, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Actually, I think it's end of this month. So we definitely have to catch up on all the episodes. Like, I'm behind on Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow. So I'm all caught up on Supergirl and The Flash, but I'm lacking on the Legends and the Arrow. So
I am so enjoying, I hate to derail this, but The Flash has been very interesting.
Yeah, it's what a change in like tone for the show this season.
And it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's a good return, and it's where it needed to be.
Yeah. All right. So what's your rating, sir?
I would give this, not so much for the sake of nostalgia, but it's pretty darn cool. So I'm going to give it 4 out of 5 flying saucers.
All right. That's respectable. That's darn near perfect.
Yeah. I'm trying to be a little bit more conservative on that just because it is a show that I truly enjoy, and I don't want to, I'm trying hard not to let that flavor sway my opinion, as it were.
Don't want to get too excited about it. You have to keep a level head.
Yeah.
Keep your
it's hard.
Critic
it's hard.
Hat on. Yeah. All right.
And I'm really excited that in the big crossover, they are going to be introducing the Ray, which that's really kind of cool.
I'll have to do my research because I have no idea what character that is. So, yeah.
It has the ability to open up some very interesting things. But anyways, enough of comic book talk. This is the Alien Invasion.
Please subscribe to this Galactic Network podcast by going gncast.com/subscribe. Or search iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or anywhere podcasts are offered.
So that's going to do it for this edition of The Alien Invasion, a Galactic Network podcast. If you'd like to read more about the stories that we covered on this episode, click the links in the show notes. And I believe with Apple Podcasts, you can now actually click the links and it'll take you somewhere. Before, you couldn't do that with the Apple app. Of course, you're a you're an Android guy, so
I am.
Yeah. We'd like to thank Monkey Warhol for giving us our intro music, a song called Alien Syndrome. You can find out more about his stuff at Monkey Warhol, that's W-A-R-H-O-L, .bandcamp.com, monkeywarhol.bandcamp.com. Also to Retward von Dürmberg, a composer from Germany, for our closing song called Be Water. Learn more about him and his music at The Caravel, thecaravel.net, thecaravel.net. Also, thanks to Ben Olson.
Hi, Ben.
For recording the disclaimer audio at the very start of this episode. So, thanks for joining us, everybody. Brad Ludwig, final thought.
This week, actually, Movie Man Mark, who does some stuff with us, is seeing Justice League tonight, and Justice League is indeed an alien invasion movie.
All right. Maybe that could be a pick for one of us here in the future. Although, I'm way behind with the superhero movies this year. I've seen one. I've seen Wonder Woman. That was it. So
yeah, you've been a busy guy.
Yeah, I'm busy. All right. Hey! We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
This has been a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's GNCASTS.com.